to his putty tat. This is possible. People and their pets. Pet people.
They're just like people with kids.
Yeah, just like it. Just like it. Did you see those billboards that were found in El Paso?
No.
One said it was somebody had painted over a billboard looking for information regarding some most wanted criminals, offenders in the El Paso area. And one of those tips billboards. And they had painted dying for drugs on there and hung a mannequin in effigy off of the billboard with the noose. And the other billboard was a black billboard that somebody had taken paint to and wrote really big Plata o Plomo on there and then hung another mannequin in effigy. This is in El Paso, Texas. Now, Plata o Plomo is Spanish for silver or lead, which is a reference to you either take the money or you get killed, which is something that the cartels use as kind of a motto when it comes to dealing with law enforcement in Mexico. And this isn't like there was some talk that this may be some sort of promo for a FX TV show. FX is a cable news, not cable news, is a cable TV station. But that's not what it is. Literally, somebody is painting on these billboards cartel messages. And one would assume that it was probably a Mexican drug cartel that's doing that. Mexican drug cartels, just like American corporations, have immense amount of power. You know, political, social power. Now, those cartels don't have the same power here in America that they do in Mexico. But you would imagine that at some point, because they have billions of dollars at their disposal, that they're going to try to go legit. Now, apparently, one of the drug cartels in Mexico made like $1 billion last year mining iron ore. I mean, already going legit in some ways. Let's not forget that, you know, so much of fortunes have been made on drugs and booze and other sometimes illegal activities. And then sometimes that money goes legit. All right, 3 minutes after 2, 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ checking in from downtown.
Good morning, Russ.
Hey, how are you?
You didn't have the day off today, huh?
Well, I did, but I volunteered to work what's called my holiday.
Well, good for you. Even though you're
I get more money that way.
Even though you're a veteran, Russ. Even though you you served to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Is that how you would sum up your service to the United States?
Well, I think it's, you know, I said before I waste a lot of time on the Huffington Post, and I realize that's a far left publication, if you will. But it's amazing to me that I couldn't tell you the exact percentage of people posting there that seem to feel this way, but I would say it's at least 10 to 15%. I mean, it's sometimes it's amazing to me. It's the level of hatred for this country that they live in. They you know, I mean, it's like they want to string up all the Wall Street people. They want to, you know, they want to take corporate CEOs out and shoot them. And they don't say that on the site because they're going to kick off. But it's such a level of, I mean, I don't even know why they still live here. They seem to hate the country so bad, like. You know, it's like, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, the original sin of the country. Well, of course, I don't see it that way. It, you know, the Indians could have won. I mean, back in those days, might made right. I don't see it as a sin because I don't believe in sin. So, you know, putting in the medical or the biblical metaphors, I think, kind of falls short. Since I'm an atheist, so I don't really, you know, buy the whole original sin ideas.
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily a religious man either, Russ, and I think maybe you know that. But the idea is genocide, I believe, is wrong.
Well, I don't think...
I think genocide is
wrong. You know, we can argue about genocide, but... I don't want to argue about Native Americans necessarily, but it's not like they didn't commit their own genocide against white people living here. you know, you can say it's justified or whatever, but it's, you know, you can still make the same argument.
Well,
but it's just as easy as they could have won, but they lost.
It's what it comes down to, Russ, is that when they did the whole all men are created equal thing, and I mean,
well, I understand that, but a lot of times, you know, flowery words don't mean a lot.
But my point here is that was inserted into foundational documents, yet it was not followed. I mean, certainly the genocide of the American Indian began before the creation of these foundational documents. But nevertheless, I mean, I'm just trying to be consistent here. So then, I mean, we can then agree that the original sin would be slay, or the a original issue, since sin is
I don't agree with that either, because, you know,
really?
It's,
I mean,
like,
slavery?
Me,
really?
No, because to me it's like, it's trying, you know, I'm having this argument online, the same about reparations, and, you know, it's the same argument to me that people, you know, I just think that some people in this country are trying to make me feel guilty for things I have absolutely no connection to, I had no input into. You know, it's like these original sin ideas. You know, it's like trying to make me feel guilty for something I had absolutely no part in.
Well, I understand that aspect of it, and I'm not asking you to feel guilty for something that you did not participate in. I think it's a historical perspective to understand where we've come from, how far we've come, and where we still need to go. That's it. That's ultimately what I mean.
Well, I understand that. I'm not, you know, I mean, I was... I still
firmly believe, and I think this gets lost, and this is something that, you know, since W has not been president for over 6 years now, or going on 6 years, or whatever it is.
Hard to believe.
I mean, it is hard to believe. We can, it truly is. We can move past a lot of these things and go, well, look, I can speak critically about America again, and that doesn't automatically mean that I would rather be in Canada, right? I mean, that doesn't automatic. I mean, I can speak critically about America because I love America, right? Because I care about this place, because it is my home. And I think that's an important thing to understand. And I think people get lost in that and just want to be overly negative about this country because it's not perfect, or they, you know, a very liberal perspective on things is that it's always going to be wrong, and everything that gets done is going to be, in you know, somehow a problem or whatever.
Well, that's why I said maybe 10-15% of the comments. I mean, I just, you know, it just is what it is. You know, you talk about the military going around doing various things. Well, you know, there's a price to pay for living here.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you know what? Again, this is something that I believe is totally false. We don't need to have a military to have a high standard of living in this country. I mean, this country is a bountiful harvest and of food and natural resources from sea to shining sea. You know, the reason why we have a military that is engaged in international conflict is because of greed. It is not because of a standard of living or a need to have, you know, resources. We have the resources here in the United States. I mean,
well, we don't have necessarily all the necessary resources for some of the high tech goodies that we take for granted.
Oh, I mean, like rare earth metals that China has taken.
Yeah, pretty much,
well, okay.
And then others in Africa, et cetera.
Well, right. I mean, we don't need those necessarily because we don't produce that stuff anyway. Right?
Well, but you know, the internet infrastructure relies on some of those.
But if we produced those items, I'm sure we would have those items. I mean, I'm talking, the resources I'm generally talking about would be energy resources and stuff like, you know, wood, you know, food, that kind of thing. Not rare earth metals. I mean, that's my point here, is that, you know, because of policies of the United States, we have had to change so much about the independence of this country to maintain our standard of living.
Well, I understand.
And
it doesn't have to be
like that. It's, I mean, we require Chinese made labor. We require Chinese slave made labor goods, and folks coming from south of the border illegally exploited all the way to maintain the standard of living. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, that's, we have, an issue of exploitation and scarcity that's created by people who want to profit off of those scenarios. I mean, that's ultimately what we're talking about. I don't think we need that. We don't need this military to have this high standard of living. We could do it without the military. I don't think we need a military to protect us either. I don't think you could. I mean, why would what would ultimately be the purpose of attacking America? Even if we didn't have a large military, we proved in World War II that if you wake this place up, I mean, for your it's over.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different trying to recreate the. You know, trying to build a nuclear-powered submarine now is a lot more difficult than just throwing a few people together, you know, in a short period of time to build such weapon systems.
Who do we have to contend? I mean, European countries have nuclear-powered submarines. Russia has nuclear-powered submarines, and that's it.
We were asleep, you know.
Never had to be our enemy. I mean, we just have competing interests with Russia, i.e. we want to control their natural resources. I mean, so I mean, we...
Well, yeah, but the world, you know, there are close to 8 billion people on the planet now, and, you know, I don't have all the answers, obviously. I just think that, you know, it's going to be interesting times in the next few years, to say the least.
But it's always been interesting times. And
well, that's true.
It's just a matter of being able to... you know, try to address some of the issues that are constantly creating conflict for us. You know, if we're talking about energy, or we're talking about education or poverty, you know, whatever that is, I mean, it's something that could be addressed, that should be addressed.
Well, but before I go here, you know, it's interesting to me that so many countries, when they have a natural disaster or, you know, what's happening in Nigeria, et cetera, they seem to have no problem, you know, demanding that the U.S. step in and do something.
Well,
I mean, it's like people around the world want their cake and ice cream.
Have you ever been in charge of people? I don't know if you're in a management position at the post office, or have you ever been responsible for motivating people or dealing with people? I mean, folks, I mean, it's really easy to complain about a problem. It's really easy to identify a problem.
Well, obviously, that's true.
It's really easy to bitch about a problem. It's actually difficult to fix a problem. It's actually difficult to change a culture. It's actually difficult to, you know, start a new process that's going to fix a problem. It's easy to bitch all day long about something. You know,
I agree.
You have a scenario where that happens, and then people go like, well, let's be honest, though. I mean, America was bombing our neighbor last week, but, you know, since the earthquake or whatever, I mean, we kind of need those, you know, USAID soy protein bars. We need to, you know, have some more of those, and we'd like their Navy to come by and desalinate some water for us and, you know, maybe operate on some of our sick. I mean,
before I go here, I mean, I have no problem with the idea of shutting all overseas bases. I have no problem ending all overseas aid, but there will be a vacuum caused by that. Maybe the Chinese will step in and take care of problems.
Well, I doubt it. Well, I mean, I think the Chinese are hyped a lot more than their power is reality. I think that what would happen, though, just like the examples that we see in places like Africa, where you have, you know, U.S. aid coming in and feeding people, as opposed to there being, you know, a agricultural movement. I mean, as opposed to, you know, the way that United States aid can actually hurt, you know, emerging economies. I mean, what the United States government should be engaging in if they wanted to remediate, you know, the issues of poverty in the third world that create extremism that then we have to deal with in the form of terrorism or whatever, would be just, you know, setting up agricultural systems that are self-reliant. I mean, you know,
the Chinese seem to be doing that at the moment. So, anyways, I'll catch you guys later.
Right, take care, Russ. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, if you want to make a more safe and peaceful world, feed and clothe people and then educate them. I mean, that's just as simple as that. I mean, that's not that hard to understand, folks. I mean, it's really not. I mean, if you want to intimidate them and use violence and fear, then you're just going to end up with what that breeds, which is more violence and fear on all sides. I mean, you know, we've all been in that position where we've been afraid of a mouse or something like that, or afraid of a bug, or know, afraid of an animal. I mean, that animal is far more afraid of you than you are of it, believe it or not. It's just hissing at you or gnashing its teeth or trying to growl or whatever because it is scared to death. You know, you try to show... You try to show love and not fear, and you get love back. You show fear, and that's what begets. I mean, that's why some people have an issue with dogs because they're afraid of dogs. There's fear involved. And dogs sense that and feel uneasy about it. Human beings aren't that much different. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Hey, Ben.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, since you're starting into this about agriculture, I wouldn't disagree that the way the World Trade Organization functions has had devastating impacts, or rather, quote, what was it? I never get these names right. Fair trade or free trade? That's it. Has had devastating impacts on impoverished third world economies around the world, and even ones that aren't quite third world, but it's our fault, the problems with Haiti and the fact those people couldn't feed each other because...
It's me and yours fault?
No. The way the U.S. government has conducted policy there in pushing their free trade agenda so that they're... We push all this cheap American... agricultural product down there in Haiti down their throats, and their market evaporated up because they couldn't compete with our prices. You know, it's like the equivalent of the Walmart model with food. It's not a positive thing. It has a very negative impact, and like you said, it doesn't do a favor. And in fact, in even more industrialized countries that we consider prosperous, they can't feed themselves, which seems ridiculous. You can't have fair trade in the process of everything else because people are going to give you everything else for a song just for, you know, a couple scraps of bread, a few beans. Korea apparently had a much greater percentage of farming back in the day, and in their industrialization, they import a lot from the U.S. and other places. In fact, I was reading something to the effect, I believe, that at one point they wanted to put some... push out some farmland in Madagascar or somewhere to where they would have been stripping down some of the rainforest so they could just plant farmland. So this can have really devastating impacts. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want any more of the farmland torn down. I mean, rainforest torn down at all. I think there's miraculous cures in there for cancer and everything else. That is getting destroyed every minute.
Not to mention all the oxygen.
Well, that as well. But I don't think you disagree with me that there's probably some great cancer-fighting drugs in there, and I really don't want it to come from stem cells because you and I both know all the royalties that are going to get paid to some pharmaceutical company in the process. I would also add to Russ's comment about these vehemently... these hating liberals, we call that the extreme ends of the spectrum, and I'm sure, Russ, there's a lot of conservatives who'd say, shut up, love it or leave it, don't question anything, and I don't agree with either side of this whole spectrum. And actually, along those lines, I was reading an older article from the... from the Times. I don't know if you you heard about this, Ben, of them stripping some people who were naturalized Britons of their citizenship, regardless of it, leaving these people stateless, or trying to pass legislation over in the UK.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, no.
Well, I mean, you know, that really scares me. I mean, I don't know. I doubt they would try to pull that over here, but...
you can't. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that over here, but I'm saying that I find it frightening that the idea that someone's actually born in a country and they can be so cavalier with the idea of stripping someone's citizenship from them.
That saying right there, that permanence of citizenship is part of what makes this place so important.
Oh, I agree, and I also would add on to that is the fact that we can question to a wider extent, even amongst other industrialized countries, we don't have as stringent laws in effect for, quote, things like hate speech. I know you don't have a problem, you know, if someone wants to say, sound as stupid as they want to say something, bigoted, anti-gay, or whatever. But, I mean, it's a great thing in our country, because chances are, regardless of how ridiculous what that person's saying is, down the road, if you shut down that person's speech, you know, it's going to come down the line and bite you.
Well, it's just, it's just the idea of, you know, whose speech, who gets to decide.
Well, I agree. And in free speech is, I mean, free speech is at its best when it's not comfortable. I mean, otherwise, to me, that's not really putting free speech in full effect. It's not being used to the full extent it should be. I mean, sure. I loathe the comment of these people like Westboro, and, you know, Fred Phelps is dead and everything, but I'm sure there's a bunch of others where he came from, obviously. But there's also the fact of, let's be honest here, let the stupidity come into the light. I mean, what's that saying about sunshine being the best disinfectant?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, talk to you later.
All right, man. Take care. All right, 21 minutes after the hour of 2 right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City. Kind of raining out there on this Memorial Day. You know, there's still ice on Lake Superior. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend, and there's still ice on Lake. That's how goddamn cold, you know, it got. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, there was more ice on Lake Superior than there had been in like 25 years or something like that. It got pretty close to completely covered in ice this winter, because it was that cold. And they're saying this is the first time in 40 years that there is still as much ice as there is on the lake. They stopped measuring the ice in May, so there's not a lot of firm numbers in regards to how much ice is still up there, but that's how cold it was. Kind of makes you wish for a little global warming, but hey, I guess we'll get it. We'll get some sort of weather that'll be conducive for something. My garden's been wonderful this year. We've gotten so much delicious food out of our front yard. Can't tell you how powerful it is. And I was thinking, too, you know, we were just talking about food. You know, when I started gardening, I was literally gardening because I thought that, I mean, this is back when George W. Bush was president, and the financial crisis was starting to explode, et cetera, and you just kind of got a sense that, you know, we were doomed, you know, and you know, you needed to have gold, silver, and bullets and a bunch of canned vegetables if you wanted to survive the future. You know, you remember those days?
I do.
I mean, go figure. 7-8 years later, we're still able to go to Walmart and Costco and all these other spots, and they still exist. None of that stuff ultimately materialized. But nevertheless, hey, FEMA might still put you in a coffin, put you on a cattle car, take you to a closed military base and call it a concentration. That could still happen, Jesse. So you watch out there, buddy. But I started gardening because it was like a victory garden type thing. It was about food security or whatever. And then you start gardening and you go like, well, my goodness, if I had to garden to live, if I was literally gardening to eat and I couldn't go to the store, that would be an awful lot of work, because you can work and do a lot of work in your garden and still, you know, not have nearly enough food to eat to survive and live. And then I got to thinking, the food that you grow in a small garden, you know, that could be at your house, could be in the city, that's the food that keeps you alive. That's the food that's so full of enzymatic life, that has that force, that energy about it, that's so fresh and still living when you put it in your body. I mean, when you pluck salad greens out of your front yard and you chew on them right away, they are still alive. I mean, certainly you refrigerate a salad, you know, leaf, and, you know, you take it halfway across the country. There's still life in there. It hasn't wilted up and died. No, it's still refrigerated and delicious and crisp and all these things. But the enzymes start to deteriorate immediately. You know, the antioxidants start to oxidize immediately. So you get that purity there. And that's literally that food that you grow yourself, if you do grow food yourself, even though it is not all the food that is on your table, it is the food that literally sustains your life force. It is the food that keeps you cancer-free and disease-free and alive. Because food is medicine, more so than anything else. We are so incredibly sick in America because of the food that we consume. It's that simple. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that. What you ingest is what you get. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing that meat prices are surging. That, you know, now that it's Memorial Day and it's time to barbecue and we're in Kansas City and the price of beef, pork, and chicken has all gone up. And we're watching prices go up. Prices on everything. We were talking about this last week. I mean, I used to be able to get organic apples for 99 cents a pound. Good luck on that. Used to be able to buy, you know, those local, you know, cage-free, semi-organic eggs for like $2 a dozen. You know, now you're lucky to get them for $4 a dozen because prices have gone up. But it's that processed food that is killing us all. It's just like the processed ideas are destroying our mental faculties as well. It's the same exact concept. But you're not ultimately, if you are a gardener and you are an urban farmer or whatever it is, you are not gardening to produce all the food that you're going to eat, because it's probably just not realistic. Unless that's like a full-time, that's a full-time job. I believe it's called farming, is the name of that type of employment. But you are growing food that will sustain your life, that will give you life energy and keep you going. Very, very important to continue on. Here on the 21st Century, here on the Paragon Radio Program. Coming up at 3, we will have a brand new suicide for you. I know everyone looks forward to those. It'll be Suicide 314 coming from the Apple Man. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to go get some more coffee, and we'll be back after this.
I heard a perfect echo die. somewhere deep inside of my soul. Sell yourself too short, my love. Someday you might find your soul in danger. Natural beauty should be preserved like a monument. You had so much, and now so much is gone. What are you gonna do with your life? What a see the earth before it touched his hand. What an angry fool to condemn. One more night to go. What he's done. Natural beauty should be preserved like a monument. Don't sell yourself too short. Thank you. watch the moment of defeat. Laid back over on the video screen. Somewhere deep inside of my soul. Too harsh, my love, or someday you might find your soul in danger. Natural beauty should be reserved like the
June 14th at IBEW Local 124, the Heartland Labor Forum will celebrate 25 years of talking back to the boss with two of our favorite hellraisers, America's number one populist Jim Hightower and labor troubadour Ann Feeney. We'll have a VIP meet and greet dinner at 6 p.m., followed by a hellraising speech and concert at 7. Details, advance tickets, and directions are available at kkfi.org.
We do the work.
Wednesday was an historic day.
It was?
Hey, this is your old pal Mike Murphy. You know, I was born on Wednesday, and I'm here to tell you that this Wednesday's child is full of whoa. So join me each and every Wednesday morning until 8 a.m. for music from around the world and around the block. Your Wednesday morning buzz going 10 years strong.
The wonder of it all, baby.
On Wednesday, all the malls across America connected.
My life towards that goal.
This is the Paragon Radio program as we slide into another 3 o'clock hour and prepare ourselves for a whole new suicide live on radio. Live on community radio is how we like to suicide ourselves. It's called Keeping It Real. Yeah, so another week in the world, another mass shooting, a bunch of other stories about stuff that happens all the time. Injustice, warfare, conflict, our society, getting it all figured out, making it all make sense, making sense of it all, and realizing that it doesn't make any sense at all. But hey, it's still better than it's ever been. That's the whole point. And on Memorial Day, you're supposed to, I guess you're supposed to place a flower on the tomb of the unknown soldier or something like that. What are you supposed to do on Memorial Day? Go buy a brand new Suzuki car? Yeah, is that what you're supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to buy a mattress? These are a brand new car.
Yeah, that's what they boiled it down to.
Is that what it's supposed to be about? Hold on. I think it's the Show Sucks guy. Is this phone call going to suck?
Your show sucks.
But this phone call, is it what sucks? How does it suck? What do you?
Is that the part that sucks?
His phone call?
Yeah.
You know, it's just I feel like he leaves us too soon. I mean, he could have given us some of the finer points of Tea Party politics. I mean, the solution to serotonin reuptake inhibitors is, you know, concealed carry permits, Kevlar vests. Right? You gotta stand your ground, Mike.
Some people are socially awkward.
Stand your ground. Vote with your ID. That kind of thing. It's important, you know, issues of our day.
So this last guy, there was no stopping him, right? Wasn't he, like, he did his YouTube video, but then he was driving from place to place? Was that the deal?
Yeah, he's like just a failure. I mean, how's a rich guy in California that's got a BMW, how is he not going to get laid? His kid's dad was one of the producers of The Hunger Games, I want to say, which I'm not really, I'm not really sure what The Hunger Games is. No, it's a
big
show
book
or
then right, became a movie right. thing.
I have no idea what it is. But a producer on Hunger Games, so this guy's like, his daddy's Hollywood. You know, I mean, his BMW.
So he should be living high.
Well, I mean, I was pretty sure if you had a BMW and you lived in California, I mean, you could get laid.
So was that his main?
Yes.
That was literally his correct. His chief complaint.
His chief beef was that he was getting
give me no respect,
no love.
Wow.
And he had gone to a sorority house to kill the sluts inside of there. His word. And he knocked on the door and knocked on the door and knocked on the door, and they never answered.
Wow.
You know, so they literally
saved their lives by not
by being in the bathroom taking selfies of their, you know, half clothed bodies saved their lives. But he also used a knife for some of the slang, so it's not just guns.
Like his roommates.
Yeah. So messed up
which,
guy.
If you've got a BMW, you have three roommates?
I mean, it's Santa Barbara.
It's still college.
Well, it's Santa Barbara, bro. It's an expensive place.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you only have three.
So, just one of those things, though. We just got to arm everybody, give everyone a weapon, right? Is that what we should do?
Well, the dark.
It's either that or we let Obama come take our guns away.
Well, the dark thing that popped into my head was like, man, this dude was. And truly, I've been too busy to read like what his whole story was and everything. But the fact that he was kind of going around doing it, like, because he had multiple locations other than just his, like, you know, he killed his roommates at home, I'm guessing. But then he went to, well, like you said, he went to this.
Went to a deli. He went to a
it's like
sorority house.
So the dark thing that popped in my head is that if you had some weird trend where people were trying to like get body counts and that's all, because this guy didn't have a purpose. There was no, like...
No, he wanted to kill sluts.
I mean, but there was no personal thing. It's hard to make sense of something so crazy, but you know what I'm
saying?
Saying like
he wasn't
like if I got like snapped, and so I go to my job and I kill all the people, right. Or I go to the school where they were mean to me, or you know, the church where I whatever, you know, but to
the
just
church
kinda
where
like
you were molested.
Go from to all these different places kind of, I'm not blaming it on video games, but that's video game style, right? Where you...
Oh, Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, it's like where you roam around doing bad stuff, and not that that's even the purpose of it, but that that's what some do, you know what I mean? So I just kind of got this dark image of, you know, people posting, like, a body count of 20 before you're stopped. I mean, knowing that when you're stopped means you're...
You mean some sort of perverse game of people competing?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Perverse, dark, but like some knucklehead in Tuscaloosa decides to take up the challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
I'm not calling for this. It's just the weird... It's just this weird... thing I could see happening because people do copycats and they, you know what I mean? Because this guy had no, there's no rational, no, stop that, trying to make sense of it.
Me, I just don't understand how you could be a guy with money and a BMW in LA and not be able to get laid. Or not LA, but Southern California. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
I mean, people act out in all different types of ways, and it's emblematic of a lot of things. But clearly, Obama needs to come personally take our guns away. It's either Obama needs to personally come take our guns away, or we need to arm everybody. There's no middle ground here, Mike. It's the extremes all the way. Or it's either
swinging back and forth.
Yeah, swinging back and forth. And we should also either all be taking Prozac, or we need to have Obama take our Prozac away, too. Because that seems to be just as much a part of the problem as anything else. I mean, there's always been the criminally insane homicidal maniac, right? He's always kind of been hanging out in our society. It's like this game's a little bit different now, though.
Well, and I guess that's what I was worrying about, is this thing, because this shows more than anything, I think, that neither of those will work, the gun control or the Prozac thing, right? Because this kid wasn't even on that stuff.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, was he?
Of course.
Is he
serotonin reuptake inhibitor? Absolutely. He had seen multiple psychologists, psychiatrists. I mean, his family was very concerned about his behavior. They had contacted law enforcement.
Yeah, but they couldn't get him put away. Or not put away.
I mean, that's what law enforcement, that's what cops do. There's two things that cops do. They deal with crazy people and they profile black people. And if you're in a Mexican part of town, you profile the Mexicans Indians or something like that.
What do you mean the cops?
Cops deal with crazy. If there were no crazy people, the police departments would need half the staff that they have.
But if his family was trying to...
I'm saying that if the cops dealt with every crazy person that ever... they wouldn't be able to respond to even a 911 call. They were constantly trying to mediate the insanity of this world, the schizophrenics out there.
Right. I guess there should be something other than the police that they could have availed themselves of.
What you always hear is, well, back when Reagan was president and he closed down all the mental clinics. You've heard that before.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not.
That goes into some anti-government stuff, right? Because I don't know if you're a family needing to take care of your mental, you know, where is the support for that?
You could do the Joe Kennedy thing.
Joe Kennedy.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He had one of his daughters lobotomized.
Lobotomy, yeah. Right. Well, that was like what they did back then, you know, at least in the upper crust. And the others, they just put them in asylums.
No, she lived in an asylum. She had a lobotomy.
And still didn't take.
Yeah, they had to pay somebody to wipe her.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're if the family's trying to resolve this, I was listening to a conversation earlier in the week where they were talking about, I guess, the fire department complaining because of the workload that they've got, that they took on when they took over the fire or the ambulance services. And there's all these people that have made, like they're talking about one guy who's made, or a person who made 200 ambulance calls in a year, right?
Is that a lot?
It's like every other day or something.
I have no idea. I don't know what the metric would be on
that. That's a lot.
Oh, you know, we're not talking.
One person. Right.
I thought you were talking about an ambulance driver, but you're saying this is somebody calling 911.
Right. That we're talking about the amount of calls that they get that are not useless, but that, you know, are not emergency calls. But anyway, my thought and what brought that to mind is just that's a form of someone, or that's an example of someone with a mental health problem.
Sure.
Right? That's calling the ambulance every
somebody
other
needs
day.
Needs attention, to say the very
right.
least.
So I guess the question is, like, if you're a family dealing with that, what do you do? You know,
or Susan Stuckey, the lady that the
right.
Prairie Village Police Department assassinated in her apartment.
And obviously, this doesn't always turn out so badly that they go killing or they get killed, but that they are doing things like going on an ambulance ride every other day.
No, I mean, I think there are lots of reasons as to why people seem more, some people seem more unstable. There's that instability. And drugs are part of it. But clearly.
Was this guy on drugs?
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Oh, okay. I mean. Illegal, you know.
I don't know that he was smoking,
which is not illegal drugs in California. But.
I mean, certainly, I don't know. I mean.
This is not a case of bath salts.
There are plenty of homicidal, you know, maniacs who smoke weed, but I don't think that this is the kind of delusion that we see. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we can go find homicidal maniacs that smoke weed all day long here in Kansas City. I mean, they're riding around. They're driving around right now, you know.
Ready to shoot some. Well.
But. That's not to say, I mean, you know, when I mean drugs, I'm generally talking about pharmaceuticals. I mean, does cocaine make you a hardcore killer? Not really. Makes you a crackhead. Does heroin make you a hardcore killer? No. Makes you a junkie. I mean, PCP, okay, now we're talking. Turns you into some kind of animal that can lead to death and killing and stuff like that, I guess.
So do you think then that this is a side effect of the...
drugs?
Yeah, the heavy
one of the they say that he just came off of them. Then absolutely, I mean that's what they say. One of the withdrawal.
What
side
was his
effects.
Thing before? Was he?
I don't know. His thing before
the drugs. Because the argument with the drug dealer. I mean, drug dealers.
I don't know the man
the
personally. Yeah.
Pharmaceutical companies or drug dealers, however you want to put it, are often like.
People start taking these drugs because they have issues. I mean, there are people out there, I'm sure, that have real issues and are really severely, maybe have had some extreme trauma in their lifetime or something like that, that have all kinds of mental health issues that maybe can genuinely benefit from antidepressants and these others, you know, these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, as they're called. I'm sure there are people out there that can benefit from that. And there's a lot of people who are not assimilating in socially within... you know, their community, whatever it is, that get these drugs because it's what psychology does. It puts people on drugs and it practices, you know, pharmaceutical medicine on people. I'm sure there are people that benefit from these, and I think there's a lot of people that are more people than benefit from it are taking these drugs because they are having, you know, issues that are very similar right. to being a human being. I mean, do you remember what it was like to be an early 20s male? You know, that, I mean, I never had a problem having a girlfriend or something like that. But that doesn't mean that I always had everything that I wanted as far as, you know, desire was concerned.
Right.
You know, and being in your 20s and being young and being a man, I mean, it can be a very difficult situation. And maybe you ask for a little, you know, and I mean, maybe this kid had problems his whole life. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, being young and having, you know, all this frustration or whatever it is, then you go, I got these problems, and like, well, we'll put you on drugs. I mean, they put toddlers on ADHD medicine. Toddlers having hyperactivity disorder, ADD. The toddler. That's the whole point. So, I mean, and maybe if they're acting out a little too much, you're putting some of the wrong things in their body.
Right.
Or something along those lines. I mean, that's what it truly comes down to. We are not content with going through the emotions of being a human being anymore. So then we go and tell the doctor to give us some drug to get over the pain of being a human.
The age of 50. The 7% you have to wait until...
Do you know what I'm saying? That's what it comes down to. All right, well, it is just about 3 o'clock in the morning right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century. And that means it's suicide time. This is the Paragon Radio program. Phone number 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, paragonradio@gmail.com, paragonradio@gmail.com. And this is Suicide 314 for your Memorial Day. Remember something. Try not to forget it.
We do have a little bit of sound from one of the videos, and we're going to play it. I just want to warn